Justin. Appreciate that tonight. I'd ask you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 to start this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This morning in our message, I mentioned a couple of times the idolatry of self. We know the definition of idolatry, the simple definition we often use is an idol is anything we put before God. And in many ways, it's self that we put before God. And it's our desires, our wants, our comforts makes us make choices that are contrary to God's word often because we are putting those things before God. They become idols, but it really comes down to making ourselves an idol, the idolatry of self, because we just put ourselves before God in the things that we want. And though we sometimes will do that in the decisions that we make and in the things that we do, certainly as Christians, if we were to be asked, well, should we put God first or self first, we would all answer, well, of course, God. We don't always do that, but we certainly would say that we should do that and understand that to be the truth of God's word. But I'd like tonight to recognize that not only are we to put God before ourselves, but we're to put others before ourselves. And there's many verses, and you're familiar with many of them. This is not a new concept to us, obviously. But just a reminder that not only are we to put God before ourselves, but we're to put others before ourselves. And I'd like to consider that thought this evening. Let's bow in prayer. Father, it's only natural for us to put ourselves before you and before others. But as your children, we are no longer natural men. We are redeemed men. We are redeemed individuals. We are a new creation. We have a new life. We're to be different. And yet so easily we fall into those old patterns and those old ways of living. We fall into that life of the old man and we put ourselves first before you and before others. And I pray that we'd be challenged tonight to just be reminded of the importance of putting others before ourselves. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we consider that thought, putting others before ourselves, I want to start with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to start with our relationship with the unbelievers around us. Because when we say we're to put others before ourselves, we can sometimes, as believers, say, well, okay, I need to put my fellow believers before myself. But what about the unbeliever? Well, here in 1 John chapter 9, Paul makes it pretty clear that he's going to put the need of the unbeliever, their need of Christ, he's going to put it before his own desires and his own rights. And if you remember when we were going through chapters 8 and 9 of 1 Corinthians, when we went through 1 Corinthians, we addressed this pretty heavily as far as Paul's willingness to surrender his rights to the need of the unbeliever that he has for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I just draw your attention to verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 9. For though I am free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. Let's start out right there. I've made myself servant to all. Well, if you're a servant to somebody, you certainly put the need of the one whom you're serving first, don't you? And so Paul's saying, I'm a servant to all. I make myself a servant to all. I'm gonna put the needs of others before myself because that's what a servant does. And particularly, he's talking about the unbeliever. And he says, I'm going to do that so that I might gain the more. And as you go on, you find out what he's talking about, so that he might win them to Christ with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their need of the gospel, their need of Christ, he's going to put that first before his own needs and his own desires and his own rights. Unto the Jews, I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, not being myself under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. He says, to the Jew I became a Jew, to the one under the law I became under the law, to the one out without the law I became without law. What he's saying is simply, no matter who it is, whether it's a Jew in his ethnicity, you know, not all Jews were religious, so he says, even that unreligious Jew, I'm gonna try to do everything I can to serve them and win them to Christ. To the Jew that's under the law, the one who's trying to save himself through the law and through his works, I'm gonna do everything I can to win them to Christ. To the one who's without law, the pagan, the one who doesn't even, he's not even religious at all, he doesn't care, I'm gonna try to do everything I can to win them to Christ. I'm going to be a servant to all. I'm going to put their need of Christ before my own needs and my own rights. And that's what he says then as you come to verse 22. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker of it with you. It says, for the gospel's sake, I'm going to surrender my rights so that I might win them to Jesus Christ. And so as we consider putting others before ourselves, we start here with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we start with the unbelievers around us. And we need to recognize that I need to put their need of Christ before my own desires and my own wants and my own needs and my own rights. I need to be willing to surrender those rights and those desires if in some way, by surrendering those rights and those desires, I can win them to Christ and share the gospel with them. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Again, these are familiar verses. You can probably quote these verses, or at least part of them. Romans chapter 1. Verses 15 and 16. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He says here, I missed verse 14, I'm sorry. In verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel. He says, I'm debtor. What's that mean? He says, I'm in debt both to the Jew and to the Greek, to the barbarians, to the wise, to the unwise. I'm indebted to them. The word here simply refers to being obligated to someone because you owe them. It really is, it's the idea, you go down to the bank to get a loan. And you take out a loan with the bank and you obligate yourself to the bank. You now owe them that money. You buy a house, you take out a mortgage, and now you owe them $500 a month or whatever that mortgage payment is. You are obligated to them. You are indebted to the bank. You owe it to them. You have to pay it back. In that same sense, Paul says, I'm a debtor to the unbeliever. I owe them. I am obligated to share the gospel with them. Now, when you go to the bank and you take out that loan, and now you obligate yourself to that bank, you have to put that need before your own desires. For example, you have that $500 mortgage payment. How about if one of these days you say, you know what, I'm really getting tired of paying that mortgage payment. I'm going to take that $500, I'm going to put it in a savings account, and I'm going on a Caribbean cruise. The bank's going to frown on that, aren't they? In fact, you do that for very many months, and you're not only not going on a Caribbean cruise, you're going to be homeless. They're going to take your house from you. You see, when you are obligated to somebody, when you owe them, what does Solomon say in Proverbs? The borrower is servant to the lender. You become their servant, and you have to put what they want before what you want. You want that Caribbean cruise, but you can't go on that Caribbean cruise because what the bank wants, you have to put that first. Put that into this context. Paul says, I'm obligated to the unbeliever. I owe it to them. And I have to put their need before my own desires. I may not feel like sharing the gospel with them, but I have to because they have a need and I'm obligated to share the gospel with them. I need to put that need before my own desires. You know, we've used the example before, and I think it's an appropriate example. If you, as an individual, were able to come up with the cure for cancer, and then somebody came to you and said, you know what, I will give you $1 million if you don't share that cure with anybody. We're going to keep it a secret. We're not going to share it with anybody. We're just going to keep it to ourselves. A person that would take that $1 million and not share that cure for cancer, what would we say? We would say they are so selfish. They're putting their own self before the needs of others. And yet, isn't that what we do when we don't share the gospel? We have the cure for eternal punishment in hell. The people around us need it. They need that cure. And we keep silent. And so Paul says, I can't keep it silent. I'm obligated. I owe it to them. Their need is greater than my desire. Notice he says, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Paul has settled this issue. You know, he's not going to wait for the opportunity to come up and then decide, oh, do I share the gospel or don't I? I'm not sure. I don't really want to. No, he's settled the issue. He's ready. As soon as the opportunity presents itself, he's going to share that gospel because he owes it to them. And he's indebted to them. And he needs to put them first before his own needs. He's ready. And he says he's not ashamed. Sometimes we're embarrassed to share the gospel. If we're embarrassed or we're ashamed to share the gospel, it's because we're putting ourselves first. I don't want to necessarily be blunt about it, but isn't that true? If I'm worried about my own embarrassment and I'm somehow ashamed, or I'm worried about being ridiculed by the person I'm sharing the gospel with, if I'm worried about it, then am I not putting my own concerns before their need to share the gospel? He says, I'm not ashamed. Their need is greater than my embarrassment or my shame or, again, my rights or my desires or my wants. And so when we think about putting others before ourselves, we need to start with the gospel of Christ and the need of the unbelievers around us. And we need to put that need first. You're there in Romans. If you would, go with me up to chapter 12 of Romans. We read this passage earlier, and we don't have time to really look at all of it, but I really just kind of want to jump down to verse 10. He's already said up in verses 1 and 2, very familiar verses. We need to present ourselves as living sacrifices, which means that we're going to allow God to use us in any way he sees fit. And then he goes into some of these spiritual gifts in verses 3 through 8. And if we're truly surrender to the Lord, and we're going to let him, we're going to be that living sacrifice, we're going to let him use us in any way he sees fit, then as he gives us these gifts, we're going to use them for the glory of God and for the edification of his church. And we're going to put God first, and we're going to put others before ourselves as we exercise those gifts in the body of Christ. But specifically in verse 10, it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Again, depending on your translation, you may have a translation that says, rather than being kindly affectionate one to another, it says, be devoted to one another. The word that's used here is a word that kind of combines love and devotion together into one word. And it's actually a word that's used with reference to a parent's love and devotion to their child. And he says that's the kind of love and devotion we should have for one another. Particularly in this context, it is within the church context for our fellow believers. It says brotherly love, and it's the brotherly love of us as together children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. So in this context, it is talking about our fellow believers, but we're to have the love and devotion for one another as a parent would have for their child. That's significant, isn't it? That's a significant love and devotion. When you think of being devoted to someone, what are some words that come to your mind? What are some words that come to your mind when you think of the word devotion or to be devoted to someone? Sacrifice.
Committed.
Somebody else say something? Any other words come to your mind? They probably two of them, the ones that would come to our mind. Loyalty, which really is kind of the idea of committed. A parent is loyal to their children in the sense that you know, sometimes our children can do things that just frustrate us to no end, don't they? And yet, we still love them. And we do everything we can to help them. And we don't just, you screwed up and we kick them out into the street. Now, sometimes we have to use some tough love and we can't enable our children when they do something. But there's a loyalty to them. And that's part of that devotion and that love that we have for our children. And that's the same kind of loyalty that we should have for one another. You know, sometimes our fellow church members are going to frustrate us. Sometimes they're going to irritate us. And sometimes they're going to have a different opinion about something than we do. But we don't quit loving them. We don't quit being loyal to them. We don't quit being devoted to them. We have an attitude towards them that we're going to still put them before ourselves. Their needs and their desires and their wants, we're going to put that before our own desires and our own wants and our own rights. There's a loyalty there regardless of what they may do or think. It's an unconditional love. We'll go through the hard times with them. We don't abandon them during their difficult time, during their trials. We talked about trials this morning, and our fellow church members go through trials. Well, we don't abandon them. We're loyal to them through those trials. And then the word sacrifice certainly fits in with that idea. Again, are we willing to sacrifice our time? Are we willing to sacrifice our own desires and our own wants for the sake of others? If you're a parent, you know how much sacrifice you make for your children. And this says we ought to have that same kind of devotion towards one another, a devotion that says I'll sacrifice in behalf of another. But he ends with the thought there, in honor, preferring one another. Again, depending on your translation, but the word preferring one another, it's really two words put together, egaomai, which means to think, and pro egaomai is the Greek word here. Egaomai means to think or to consider, to regard, and the word pro is simply the word before. Preferring one another, literally what it says is thinking of others before yourself. Regarding others before yourself, considering others before yourself. considering their needs, considering their feelings, considering their opinions before your own needs and your own opinions and your own feelings. Considering others before yourself, thinking of others before yourself, and emphasizes in honor, thinking of others before yourself. The word in honor here is the idea of to respect, but it's the idea of respecting someone because you recognize their value and their worth. In honor, thinking of others before yourself. Recognizing the worth and value of another person and regarding their worth and value and therefore thinking of them before yourself. Man, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? That's pretty amazing. To consider others, and isn't that what Philippians chapter 2 says? It tells us to esteem others better than ourselves. We need to say, you know what, that person's opinion, that person's desires, that person's feelings are more valuable than mine. And I need to think of them before myself. That's hard. That's difficult. In fact, that is totally opposite of what the world would tell us. The world would tell us, put yourself first, value yourself more, consider yourself more worthy. Do what it takes for you to get your desires and your wants, and you consider your feelings first, and you don't even consider others until you have taken care of yourself. And that's not what the Scripture's saying. Now again, don't misunderstand. We need to take care of ourselves. We certainly need to make sure we are right with God. And we need to make that a priority in our lives. And if we're not right with God, we're not going to be able to help anybody else. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I'm saying as we're walking with the Lord, we need to consider others before ourselves. In honor, recognize the value and the worth of others as we do devote ourselves to them. Just go over a page in your Bible to chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 1 begins, him that is weak in the faith receive, but not to doubtful disputations. The word doubtful disputations here, it's the idea, don't accept the weaker brother just so that you can argue with them about their opinions. And it goes on and talks about the various opinions that we have, those things that sometimes are not real clear, and we have different opinions concerning, in verse 3, it talks about the eating of meat as opposed to just eating vegetables. It goes on and talks about esteeming one day above another, and then others just esteem every day the same. Just some of these opinions that we sometimes can quarrel about. And he says, you need to receive, you need to accept that weaker brother who may not understand completely these issues, and don't quarrel about those opinion things. We have different opinions about some things. Don't quarrel about them. He says receive or accept them, and he's going to be skipping a lot here, but you jump down to verse 13 then. He says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. In other words, that's what we tend to do, you know. We judge that person for their opinion. We judge that person for their opinion. You know, in this context, the one who eats meat, the one who doesn't eat meat, judges him. And then the one who doesn't eat meat, the one who does eat meat, judges him. And it's about things that really don't matter. They're opinions. Don't argue about it. Don't quarrel about it. Don't judge one another. Don't look down on one another because you have a different opinion than I do. In fact, he says what we need to do is judge ourselves. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Instead of judging one another based upon those matters of opinion, he says, judge yourself. Look at yourself. And if you're doing something that's causing your brother to stumble and you're leading them into sin, then you need to judge yourself and not lead that brother into sin. You need to be willing to surrender your rights for the sake of your brother and not lead them into sin. And again, I'm jumping a lot and skipping a lot here, but that's the thought of these next verses. And then you come to chapter 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. Don't please yourself and demand your rights, even if it causes your brother to stumble. But rather consider what you're doing and consider what its effect is going to have on your brother and edify your brother rather than simply pleasing yourself and in pleasing yourself cause your brother to stumble. For even Christ, verse 3, pleased not himself. Aren't you glad that Christ didn't simply please himself? That he put us before himself? You know, he prayed, let this cup pass from me, but then he added, your will, not mine. He didn't just please himself. He put us before himself. And that's the example for us. And then in conclusion, down to verse 7. Therefore, receive one another. Over in chapter 14, verse 1, it started out by saying, receive the weaker brother. Accept him. And now he draws this conclusion in verse 7, therefore, receive one another. Everything from verse 1 of chapter 14 to this point is drawing to this conclusion. You need to accept one another. And you accept one another by putting the needs of others before yourself. The needs of others before your own rights. Don't demand your rights and cause others to stumble. Don't please yourself and cause others to stumble. But accept others. Accept their opinion. You don't have to agree with them, but you accept it and don't argue about it. Again, we're not talking about matters of sin. We're not talking about matters of clear doctrine and theology. We're talking about opinions. We all have different opinions about certain things. And he says, accept one another as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Christ is our example. How do we accept others? We accept others as Christ accepted us. And how did he accept us? Well, a couple of thoughts. First of all, he accepted us by grace, didn't he? And we didn't deserve his acceptance. We didn't earn his acceptance. By grace, he accepted us. And others around us, maybe in our mind, they don't deserve our acceptance. But you know what? I didn't deserve Christ's acceptance either. So by grace, we accept others. Whether we think they deserve it or not, whether we think they've earned it or not, we didn't earn God's acceptance. We didn't deserve God's acceptance, but he accepted us through Christ. We can accept others by grace. And how did Christ accept us? Not only by grace, but by sacrifice. In order to accept us, Christ had to sacrifice himself on the cross. Are we willing to sacrifice, again, maybe not to the point of death, but are we willing to sacrifice our wants and our desires? Are we willing to sacrifice our rights and accept others by grace? That's what Christ did, and he's our example. And then, it's to the glory of God. That's the ultimate motivation, isn't it? For every one of us, the ultimate motivation is the glory of God. Are we willing to accept others by grace, through sacrifice, in order to bring glory to God? Will we put others before ourselves? Let's bow in prayer. Father, we're so grateful that Christ did indeed accept us by grace, through sacrifice. He's our example. Pray, Father, that likewise we will put others before ourselves and that we will not simply strive to please ourselves, but we'll want to edify others. And as it relates to the unbelievers around us, Father, may we recognize that their need of Christ must be put before our own desires. And may that become our desire. to win others to the truth of your word and to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Shall we stand? Thank you, Father, for this time together, for the opportunity that we have to study your word. Help us to continue to meditate upon it, to examine our own hearts. Pray, Father, that we'd see your truth, we'd recognize it, that we'd apply it to our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you.